You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls. He shoots, he scores, goals, scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Yeah, welcome along to the podcast, which is concentrating on the Championship and League Two playoff semi-final second legs. Pete Farris is here with me, Lee Phelps. We'll be talking to Jason Lewis a little later in the podcast as well. We're going to concentrate on the Championship first of all, and these two games to book a place at Wembley. And one of the four will be going up to the hallowed Premier League. Middlesbrough versus Brentford is the first game that we're going to have a look at. It's currently 2-1. After the first leg to Middlesbrough as they go into the home leg. Even money, Borough. Brentford are 11-4 and the draw is 12-5, Pete. These are both finely balanced, aren't they? Middlesbrough's home form has been very, very good. I know they drew with Brighton on that final day, but before that, scoring goals, not conceding too many either. Did you get the sense that Brentford may have just run out of steam a tad?
Yeah, I mean, the way they got back into that game, of course, against Borough was through Dimi Konstantopoulos's, well, we'll call it interesting, defending of his goal. The ball back to him wasn't brilliant, but Andre Gray did brilliantly to capitalise on it and slot it home. You know, Borough, I would say, maybe didn't deserve to batter Brentford, but maybe deserved to win on the night. Obviously, it was a very late Amora Bieta goal that won them the game 2-1. But I really wouldn't be confident at all here on Brentford at 11-4. Aitor Karanka, certainly at home, Borough have got one of the best league defences at home this season. You know, they've actually, if you look at the top teams, the top six scored amongst the least, but they've managed constantly, certainly at the Riverside, to defend well. They've, of course, battered Brentford earlier in the season 4-0. They have played really, really well, and they just seem to be gathering in confidence a little bit. Even money to win the 90-minute market is actually, in my opinion, very good. If you look across all of the playoffs so far, I think we've not had exactly a ton of unders, have we? We had Chesterfield against Preston in the first leg. We had Stevenage Southend. And of course, we had Norwich Ipswich, which we'll get to very soon. But second leg-wise, I am always desperate to go with overs goals. Because as we saw, for example, with the Swindon game last night, Swindon and Sheffield United, we recorded this
just landed.
Wednesday, yeah, 5-5. Teams just get desperate. Yeah. Teams go mad. Teams just throw everything forward. Now, over 2.5 goals in this match is 10-11. That, for me, is a really, really decent-looking bet. I like Borough at even money on the outrights. And actually, if I'm perfectly honest with you, I'd be going further than that. Sitting on my bet slip right now is a market that I'm a big, big fan of for this game, which is minus a goal, Middlesbrough at 12-5. I'm looking around the 2-0, sorry, the 3-0 mark. I don't really see how Brentford hurt Borough. I mean, we know what Borough can do defensively. We know going forward. And Brentford have had a great season and they've done brilliantly. And Mark Warburton is going to strut backwards into a new job come next season. He has done magnificently. Gray 19-10 anytime. The always brilliantly talented Alex Pritchard at 13-5. Jota as well at 14-5 if you want to get involved in a Brentford goal scorer. But the pick for me is a man who scored in the first leg, Jelovus, and the former Racing Genk. Well, I say former, he's still technically current, he's on loan at Borough, isn't he? He's 6-4 anytime. His movement caused that Brentford backline a lot of trouble. If you saw the amount of space he had to head home that first goal, Lee, 6-4 anytime is brilliant because it didn't just come from poor Brentford defending. He moved. His movement there was brilliant. The cross comes in. His movement is great. The defenders couldn't deal with him quite a few occasions in that match. 6-4 anytime for Jelovus, and it looks brilliant. And also, we spoke about desperation a moment ago, didn't we? We spoke about, for example, very briefly, albeit, but we spoke about how we saw the Swindon-Sheffield United game toward the end, just bookings everywhere. You and I were talking before the actual podcast began, Lee, about how many late bookings there were. There's not currently any card markets, but look, there will be before the kickoff. Over 45 booking points and over 55 booking points are well worth a look. And finally, the goal time markets here. Match goal 76 to full time, yes, is even money. Now, we had one at Brentford, of course, Amor Abieta's very, very late winner. We've seen them across the Football League playoffs, haven't we, so far? And also, again, if we're talking desperation, that has got to be the way to play it. So even money there. And also, another one that I really do quite like playing is highest scoring half, second half, also even money. Now, I'm not putting up 10 to 1s and 8 to 1s and 16 to 1s here, but I think for the price you're getting on the even money for a game that we all know will stretch out toward the end. Because if Brentford are, say, 1-0 down, they're not going to stop going. They're not going to stop going.
No.
We saw Sheffield United know that they were probably done, but they didn't stop going, did they? We saw Chesterfield against Preston. They knew pretty much after that penalty they were done, but they didn't stop going. And this is the thing. Highest scoring half, second half, even money. These are the kind of markets you, for me, have got to look at. But in terms of general qualification, Borough at 1-6, while short, I think is a fair price.
Let's have a look at the second game, which is on Saturday at 12:15. Norwich versus Ipswich. The Canaries are 4-5. The Tractor Boys 18-5, and the draw is 5-2. Norwich getting a 1-1 draw at Ipswich, and of course they beat them 2-0 at home in the previous game early in the season with goals from Bradley Johnson and Lewis Graben. Ipswich's away form has let them down actually in the last 10. Games of the Championship. Away from home, they've won twice at Watford and Fulham and only drawn once and lost the rest, so quite a few losses in there. Norwich's home form has been very good, losing to Middlesbrough and fairly inexplicably to Wigan in their last 9 games, but around that, Pete, there's been one draw with Derby, and then they've been slotting, you know, threes and fours past teams. Ipswich do score, even in that run of away defeats. They've scored in all but two of those away games that I listed. Do you see both teams scoring here?
Yes, I do. Both teams are 17-20, which is on my little list here, Lee.
Yep.
But I think it's 1-all or 2-all here.
Right.
I think we get extra time. I really like the first half betting draw at 21-20. Came in by the skin of its teeth, of course, for me in the first
leg. Who cares, though?
Who cares? Yeah, who cares? But 21-20 for first half betting to be a draw looks very, very good for me. I think this could go, in fact, all of the way to the very bitterest of bitter ends for one of the teams and the very best of best ends for the other. The draw at 5-2 in 90 minutes is brilliant. That to qualify, you could argue that Ipswich, as I think it could go all the way to penalties, therefore it becomes a shootout, and therefore 7-4 for Ipswich to qualify is a decent price. We saw, outside of obviously that Johnny Howson goal and then that Anderson equaliser, I think we saw two teams who really felt that the atmosphere and the occasion and the size of the event were all preying on them. And I think as the second half goes here, as the atmosphere increases, as it gets harder and harder and harder to get outside of what will become a really nervous pressure cooker, I don't think these players, as great as they are and as brilliant as the run that Alex Neil has taken them on, as great as Mick McCarthy is at getting teams up, I think this game will just not peter out, is absolutely the wrong word, because it's almost the opposite without drama, if that makes sense, which I don't think it does. I think it's just going to be tension.
Yeah.
And it's just going to roll and roll and roll and run and run and run. Now, I do see both teams are scored. I mean, the draw 1-all is 13-2. The draw 2-all is 16-1. I do see those. But I just don't see either one getting away from the other. I just can't see it.
Yeah.
I can see this game going a long, long way. And you do tend to get your extra time, as of course we had one extra time last year, didn't we?
Which was Derby QPR. Got through, didn't they?
Yeah, Derby QPR. So we did have that. You do tend to see them because the occasion itself. Now, you had the occasion with the size of the game, with the locality, with the rivalry, with all of that. And I don't know that this game goes anywhere other than penalties. I also think bookings and yellow cards and reds as well. Obviously, no card markets at the time of recording. They will be there for people to bet on, to have a look on williamhill.com. They are going to be there before kickoff, I'm sure. Have a look at high again. Maybe a double of over 45 booking points in both Championship games would be very interesting for me.
There were four in each of the games last year, actually, interestingly enough. So it was 40. So over 35 would have landed last year.
Well, you could look at that, but obviously you've then got to factor in, I think, anyway, with the way that the tie is poised for Borough-Brentford, and also with the rivalry that will spill from the stands onto the pitch for this kind of thing. In terms of a goal scorer, well, we know what Jerome at 23-20. We saw Bradley Johnson at 17-10 be great toward the end of the season. Johnny Howson, of course, bagged in the first leg. He's 21-10. On the other side of it, well, you know, he's made you a lot of money this year, laying Daryl Murphy at 9-5. And, you know, a player in Darren Ambrose, I'm a huge fan of, at 9-2. Even Cole Skuza, who doesn't score a huge amount, he's that kind of player who can step up on big games. But I don't know about you, but I can't see these two separating away from each other. And therefore, the draw at 5-2 is actually probably the best way to play it. I do think this one will go absolutely all the way to a very bitter end for one and a very sweet end for the other.
Yeah, penalty shootout on Saturday afternoon wouldn't, for the neutral, wouldn't be a bad thing at all, would it? What's your nap then, Pete?
My penultimate nap.
The only winner last week, incidentally, with that half-time draw, so you're on 39.50.
39.50 plus 39.50. From all those dark days.
I know, yeah.
I actually can't end up the season. We've got two more podcasts, well, today and another one. Yep. I can't end the season in negative.
No, I can.
Oh, yes.
I'm on plus two. And Jason's on 13175. We'll get Jason's in a little while, and I'll reveal mine then as well. Mine comes in the League Two playoff semi-final second legs. I found those easier to predict than these.
I'm going to take Middlesbrough minus a goal at 12-5. I think that they will throw everything at it. The Riverside will be absolutely packed out. I do think Brentford will have a good chance of scoring, but I think when they throw everything forward, Borough will have enough of an explosive edge to kill them off. So that 12-5 minus a goal is really goodly, and I've got to say, after what's been I'm going to try and find footballing parlance, not a disastrous year, but a very trying year off the main bets and into the naps. It's a real pleasure to know that everything's worked out all right, and that if you've been following me week in, week out, it's impossible for you to have lost money this season. That's really brought a genuine tear to my eye. The pressure week in, week out.
Well, enjoy these two games, and from a club point of view, good luck to Middlesbrough.
I'm staying up.
Nice.
I am staying up on the naps table.
You don't have to stay up that late. It's only 7:45 kickoff.
I am forced to go to bed at 8.
Pete will be staying up past his bedtime.
Past 8 p.m.
To watch Middlesbrough,
and the last days of Rome.
Brentford. Thanks, Pete. We'll speak to you again before the Championship playoff final, which is on Bank Holiday Monday, May the 25th. On the other side of this jingle, we'll be speaking to Jason Lewis about the League Two playoff semi-final second legs. He's shaking the ball to get control. Kick it with your feet, then score a goal. Just the ball to get control. Kick it with your feet, then score a goal. He's playing football, he's having fun. Score a goal, and time out. I've got my feet in my football shoes. Let's have a look at the League Two playoff semi-final second legs in the company of Jason Lewis from the 72.co.uk. We've got some entertainment in store, especially after witnessing the League One playoff semi-final between Sheffield United and Swindon. What a tie that was, Jason. 5-5. You put up the over 10.5 as well. So unlucky.
Yeah, I was just gutted really that Sheffield United couldn't force it to extra time really. But in all seriousness, no, absolutely cracking game. You've got people moaning that they're shocking the defender, but they really need to get over themselves and just enjoy what is a great game of football. And there's a couple of games here we've got that set up really nicely, and hopefully we can have more of the same.
Indeed, yeah. The two games that we're going to look at are Wickham versus Plymouth. Wickham leading 3-2, and Southend Stevenage 1-1 from the first leg. Let's start off with Wickham Plymouth then, shall we? Both 7:45 kickoffs. Wickham are 5-4 to win the match in 90 minutes. It's 9-4 the draw, and Plymouth are priced up at 9-4 as well. You can also, of course, have to qualify odds. Wickham 1-6. Plymouth 7-2. Headline offers here focus around Ruben Reid to score and Plymouth to win in 90 minutes, which is 5-1, and Fred Onimedia to score and Wickham to win in 90 minutes is 3-1. You weren't keen on Wickham in the first leg, and understandably so, because they've let a lot of people down this season, and they almost did it again, didn't they, Jason? 3-3, you think this is over, and then suddenly 3-2. I mean, God knows how they let that slip. The good news from them is that Matt Ingram's back after missing that match. He was ever present, the keeper, for the whole of the season as well, and Paul Hayes back as well. I think there's a bit of a worry that Hayes wouldn't make it for this game, but I think he's been declared fit.
Yeah, I think he should be right, and that's a big bonus for them. But really, this game should be over, and it's now on a bit of a knife edge with no away goals in the playoffs. So Wickham, if they can score first here, probably in this game, it could be a long evening for Plymouth. And you look at Plymouth's record, they've won just 7 away games all season. Only Stevenage, who have come on to have a worse record in the top 7. And only 4 of these victories out of the 7 have been by more than a single goal, which is what they need to take this, do this game in 90 minutes. So if they are going to get back into it, it could go to extra time. But for me, Wickham conceding 2 late on, they still impressed me that first leg after being so poor towards the end of the season. They spent long spells about the ball, but were clinical, just 4 shots on target, scoring the 3 goals, so did really, really well. When you look at it, Wickham's home game especially have been seeing the goals flying, taking out their last home game of the season against Morecambe, and their games at Adams Park have been very entertaining. They beat Exeter 2-1, Cheltenham by the same scoreline. Before that, they lost to Burton 3-2 and drew 2-2 at home with Accrington. And add to that 3-2 win over Northampton the final day, and the first leg against Plymouth where it was a 3-2 win, and you get the impression that over 2.5 goals in this game at 21-20 is a very attractive price. Plymouth themselves, no mugs really when it comes to scoring. Even on the road, they had 2 promoted Shrewsbury on the final day of the season, and before that they did draw a blank at Carlisle but scored 2 or more in 3 of their 6 away games. So we saw in the first leg that both these sides are really interested in attacking, and it produced a really great game of football where it was end to end. And I'm not going to predict another a 5-5 like at Swindon, but I'm confident there will be goals in this, at least 3 goals in this match. Where they're going to go is difficult to tell, but over 2.5 at 21-20 is a great price to start this game off. And then if you're looking for me to back a side, I think I was really I slated Wickham all that towards the last couple of months of the season, and they really, when it did matter though, they've stepped up. And Gareth Aylward's side, they gained a bit of a reputation over the season when they happened to well, being the masters of the single goal victory. They've won 11 games since the new year, and all of them have been by just a single goal. 4 of these were 3-2 wins, 2 were by a 2-1 margin, and 5 were just 1-0. So that makes it difficult for me to pick a specific score here, especially given the fact that it's tough to tell how Wickham will approach this game. They can either sit back and be a bit cautious and try and attempt to snatch a goal on the counter, which I wouldn't probably favour. I don't think that suits their style of play. Or they can go out like they did in the first leg and make a focused effort on putting pressure on with some smart, fast attack and play. Either could work for them, but I think the likely outcome here is Wickham winning this game by a single goal. So how do we get that bet in pre-match? It's the tie handicap bet with Wickham -1 at 14-5, and that would be my pick in this match.
Yeah, I suppose the other way of playing it would be the Wickham winning over 2.5 goals, which is around a 5-2 mark if the game goes the way you said it. I think they might have to score 2 to win this. Plymouth, of course, won 2-0 away at Wickham earlier in the season. I was looking at Plymouth's away wins, actually, Jason, and if they score 2 or more, they tend to win, don't they? I mean, you look at they beat Shrewsbury 2-0, as you mentioned. They beat Cheltenham 3-0, Exeter 3-1, Wickham 2-0 away from home. Scored 3 at Northampton and won 3-2. Hartlepool is the game that is the flying the ointment. They lost that one 3-2. But other than that, they either have nils or they score 2 or 3. It's a weird
thing.
I don't know what it is with Plymouth.
They just don't show up, or they're pretty decent, really. And yeah. They, to be fair, they did that for 85 minutes on Sunday, really. They didn't show up at all, and then managed. The crowd were excellent, to be fair, but late on they stuck. There was a really big attendance for a League 2 playoff game. Shows that Plymouth probably should be a League 1 side. They've got a great fan base down there. And it's just difficult to tell with these two teams that no real form. I just think Wickham, hopefully, with their home soil, should really be able to get this job done. Possibly could go to extra time, but I think it's just going to Wickham are going to snick this one and win on aggregate by the 2 goals.
We'll get Jason's penultimate nap of the season after we talk about Southend versus Stevenage. 1-1 from the first leg, of course. It won't be a big surprise to know that Dembele and Timlin are both major doubts for this game after that horrific clash of heads and the stitches that both of them had to have. 3 losses at Rootswell all season for Southend. You look at Stevenage's away form, they beat Hartlepool, Cheltenham, York, Dagenham and Wimbledon. Dagenham finished 14th, Wimbledon 15th, York 18th, Hartlepool 22nd and Cheltenham 23rd. It seems a big ask for them to go away and beat one of the best teams in the division. The other amazing stat here, and I hope I'm not nicking too much of your research, is that of their 23 home games, 21 of them have been under 2.5 goals for Southend. And if you go a bit further, 11 of the 23, so almost half, have been under 1.5 goals as well.
Yeah, we'll come on to that stat later because it's quite a strong one for Southend over the course of the season. And you said there about Stevenage's win. If you look at their form on the face of it, it's been pretty decent coming into the end of the season. But the teams they've beaten, they should be beating, like your Cheltenhams, your Hartlepools, they should beat those teams. So really, you need to look a bit more sometimes into form to see what it really means. And on the face of it, that 1-1 draw was probably a great result for Southend. When you look at how much more of a home side Stevenage are, I think it's they've had 15 home wins this season. And as I say, they've only had 5 away wins this season. So really, they are a home side. So I was impressed with Southend as much as I was with Wickham, really, because they got over that heartbreak of losing out on the automatic promotion on the final day. I thought that could impact their playoff challenge, but they've been doing well, and they've really, I think they might have planned for the playoffs in a sense, because until probably late April, they were in the playoffs and were a bit short of getting into the automatics, and it was only late on they really got a chance of dropping into the top 3 spots. So really, you mentioned their Southend and under 2.5 goals are a common theme, and Stevenage's 3 defeats since February have been 1-0 at Mansfield, 1-0 at Dagenham, and a 2-0 loss to Luton. So that just adds more to this fact that Southend are good at nicking slim margin wins. You, that great one we mentioned, it was a ridiculous run of wins to nil when you had 2-0 at home to Mansfield, 1-0 at Hartlepool, 1-0 at home to Tranmere, 2-0 at home to Newport, 1-0 at home to Exeter, 1-0 away at Exeter, 1-0 away at Bury, and 1-0 at home to Luton. Only the final day ruined that run. I just think here it's just so obvious that Southend and under 2.5 goals is just a great bet here, really, for me. Their highest defeat all season for Stevenage has been 3-0 at Carlisle back in October. So they don't really get tonked away from home. But it's just Southend here for me. It just looks right, really. As sometimes the bets just look, being 13-5 on Southend and under 2.5 is a really good price to be had here if you're backing Southend as I am. And another one, this, the last little market here, is second half highest scoring. 5 of Southend's last 6 games saw goals coming in the second half. 10 of the last 20 games have seen the first goal come in the second half. So there you go. If it's 0-0 at half-time and there's any goal, which there probably should be, because you think one of the teams will start going for it and won't want to settle for extra time, then you've landed a nice little bet there at 23-20. But I go back into that Southend and under 2.5 goals. It's just looks obvious. It's the same bet effectively as doing Southend to win to nil is what you're doing, but you don't think they were going to win this game 3-0 effectively, which I think is highly unlikely against this Stevenage side, who are quite a solid defensive unit. So Southend and under 2.5 goals at 13-5 is definitely the ones we had in this game.
The NAP standings after the first legs of the semi-finals show Jason on 1-3-1-75. Your bet didn't make it. I'm down to +2, which is disastrous. And Pete had a winner, a half-time draw in the Ipswich Norwich game. A little fortunate. 41 minutes the first goal went in, second one 45. Who cares? He's on £39.50. What are you going for in these second legs of these League Two semi-finals, Jason?
So really, it comes down to that Southend and under 2.5 is more likely than the odds of Wickham -1 at 14-5. So just a very similar odds there, 2 fairly big prices. I think I'll be smashing my way through the 150 mark if I land this one. It's a tricky one, but I'm going to go with the form, excluding the final day of the season. I really do like this Southend side, and if I had to pick a team to go up, I would like it to be Southend. I felt quite sad, really, watching on the final day they didn't work out for them. And here at 13-5, Southend winning under 2.5 goals just looks a good price to be had.
Yeah, I was going to go for that. I don't mind admitting that.
Sorry, mate.
No, it's fine. I had 2 written down. I had, and that was my favourite. My 2 were that one and Wickham and over 2.5 goals. I don't trust Wickham. It's against my better judgment to go for them. But I am. I'll go for them at 5-2. I'm more confident of these 2 games than I am in the Championship. I just think, I know Plymouth did win at Wickham 2-0 but early in the season, but I just think that Wickham, as you said, really, now is the time. They have to do it now, and they've had chances. They've let it slip, and I think they'll get there, but I don't think it'll be an easy run, as nothing tends to be with Wickham these days. So I'll go for Wickham to win in over 5-2. Thank you very much, Jason. Thanks for your time. We'll speak again before the League One and League Two playoff finals.
Thank you very much, Lee. Look forward to it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.